game is the meal. We're the after dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here he comes. Left-handed shot. Straight down the middle. Score!
Finally, somebody tries something else on Hammond.
Well, that was it. Seventh round of the shootout. Peter Holland comes up with the winner for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a 3-2 winner in a shootout over the Ottawa Senators. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, here at Air Canada Center. And, of course, we always welcome your phone calls on Leafs Nation postgame at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We've had a lot of nondescript, non-compelling games in the year 2015, Aussie. And when you wonder if they're going to play out the string or not, we got a pretty entertaining 65 minutes and then some.
Well, we certainly did, Gord. And you got to think, after last night's game when the Maple Leafs gave up 50 shots in Boston, could they in fact be the spoilers against the Ottawa Senators? We saw the same dress rehearsal basically a week ago last night when Eric Brewer was the winner in a 4-3 win in overtime over the Ottawa Senators. And lo and behold, the same thing, having passed GM Brian Murray here in the hallway as he was exiting the building. I'm sure they're shaking their heads. If they don't get into the playoffs now, I know they earn a point, but ROWs, regulation or overtime wins, mean a lot to the Ottawa Senators, and they basically have perhaps given away some of these points against the Maple Leafs this last week and a bit of the season.
Yeah, later on we'll go over the out-of-town scoreboard and why it worked in the Senators' favor this afternoon, with Detroit losing, the Pittsburgh Penguins losing. But as mentioned, Toronto has had this hex on Ottawa for so many years. It's been a long time since they played in the playoffs, but it basically had their number, and it seems once again last week to come from behind, tie up and win in overtime, and then the shootout victory this time around, that those are two valuable points that could make the difference.
Well, you know what, and plus you would say, Gord, I mean, this was an entertaining game.
This
had so many elements, and if I'm a season ticket holder, I'm back on board, because at both ends of the ice, Jonathan Bernier was really good tonight. He saw a lot of pucks, and certainly in the round of seven in the shootout, he gives up the first goal to Zibanejad, and then shuts down the next six Ottawa Senators. And on the other end of the ice, the Hamburglar, I'm not sure what his pregame meal is, but he was unbelievable.
He really was.
And I know Rick Walmsley, the Senators goaltender coach and former Maple Leaf, has taken a lot of the credit, but boy, oh boy, talking about a guy who's come out of nowhere to be as poised in games like this that matter down the stretch. It was a great goaltending duo between the two netminders.
And again, of course, welcome your calls, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. And, you know, start the game. In the first period, Leafs have 22 shots, yep, a 1-0 lead. So you think, well, they're on pace to get 66 shots. Well, then, lo and behold, they only get 16 in the next two periods. So it had those elements, that a great 20 minutes by the Leafs. All in all, pretty good game by the Leafs. Last 40 minutes of regulation time, the Ottawa Senators, I'll say, only scored two goals. We saw a lot of skill and a lot of great playmaking.
Yeah, and part of that, is, and kind of you and I are laughing a little bit off air just about some of the criticism levied towards the Ottawa Senators, and, you know, looking ahead to the future, they don't have a lot to look forward to. Well, you look at some of the players here, Zibanejad, Turris, Stone,
Hoffman.
I mean, and Carlson on the back end. And again, he's going to be a nominee for the Norris Trophy without question. I mean, what a treat again. And we're not making a big deal of the Ottawa Senators or Erik Karlsson. But again, when you have an opportunity to watch him on a regular basis, the things he's able to do, the vision on the ice, the plays that he makes, every time he handles that puck in the offensive zone, there's always something happening. So again, it was an entertaining game, to say the least, and Sens fans should be, matter of fact, really proud the way that they've played down the stretch. But again, the Leafs are the team that loves to spoil the Sens chances. Battle of Ontario, and we've seen this over the years, that for whatever reason, the Leafs have the number of the Ottawa Senators, and it's a good feeling to have.
Well, 18-3-2, the Senators were in their previous, imagine that, previous 23 games heading into tonight's game. That'll make it 18-3-3 in their last 24 games as they make the great push to try to get in there. And we will, of course, head to some of the callers in a second, just getting some of the calls lined up right now and take a look. Not yet? Okay, not ready right now. Okay, we will come back. We'll come back and, of course, get our take a break, come back. We'll get set up. Head coach Peter Horachuk as well. Hear from him and slide in some calls. Hear from some Maple Leaf players as well. As kind of a nice Easter Sunday game at home for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, a 3-2 shootout victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and insight that you can't get anywhere else. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sent into the corner again for Churis. Churis at the half-court. Sanders in front. They score! A quick pass in front for Mark Stone. And the youngster slams it home, and it is tied at two.
That was it. Mark Stone tying the game up for the Ottawa Senators. Ultimately, the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2 shootout winners over the Ottawa Senators. Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2 winners over the Ottawa Senators in a shootout. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, you got the right headset now, Ozzy. Everything good?
I think I do, Gord. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks very
Perfect.
Much for your
Perfect.
Concern.
Leafs Nation, postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. We'll hear from Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horachuk in a few minutes' time. Taking a call now at 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Manny in North York. Hey, Manny. Okay, no Manny here. Going to try to get... Okay, we'll try to get the phone line situation worked out. So, again, give us a try. Manny, if you give a call, we'll get you right to the... Okay, Manny, do we have you?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Gord, everybody, happy Easter to you.
Thank you.
Gord, what you see here now is what you're going to see here next year. Their chances at the lottery is getting slim and slim. But listen... The main point of the end of the season is they better come along to Bernier right now and offer him a 2 to 3 year contract at anywhere between $6 and $8 million, because there's not going to be another goaltender come here to back up Reimer or be a first class goaltender unless he's getting 9 to 10. Bernier every night this year, 40, 50, 60, 70 shots scored. No, honest.
I don't remember the 70
Bernier,
shots. Is your last name Bernier? Is this Manny Bernier? Cousin
no.
Manny Bernier over for Easter dinner?
No, if it wasn't for Bernier or Reimer, we would not be to where we are today.
Okay, appreciate the call. Certainly Rick St. Croix, our goaltending coach, who was walking by. He's big on his goaltenders. And again, Ozzy, that's going to remain... both Where Bernier and Nazem Kadri with the contracts. I don't know if you're going to – I'm sure he'll appreciate 2 years, $8 million, but
– I didn't realize we were on Comedy Central this evening. But anyways, $6 to $8 million for Jonathan Bernier, I rather doubt he's going to get anywhere near that. And it'll be interesting, obviously.
Don't have a problem supporting the goaltenders. If you're thinking the status quo with the goaltenders is fine, that's fine.
And further to your point, I don't remember the last time the Leafs gave up 70 shots, but you know, nonetheless, a great performance for Jonathan Bernier tonight.
James Reimer last night.
And James Reimer, the last, three starts that James Reimer has had. So the goaltending has been there. again, it's hard to judge players at this time of year when the games really certainly don't mean anything, and it's nice when you get a Peter Holland thrusted back in the lineup, makes a nice assist on the JVR goal right from the get-go in the first period. They were on the ice with the Lupo goal, and then obviously Peter Holland with the shootout winner. So some of those things, for some of these guys, you rise to the occasion, and on a night when you get motivated and you have an opportunity perhaps to do some damage to a team in your own province, of which we've seen over the past, the Battle of Ontario, certainly a heated one. I think the Maple Leaf players certainly did enjoy this game after a night last night in which they came out on the losing end of things in Boston.
Steve's in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Excellent. Well, for one, I'd like to wish Joe Bowen a happy birthday. I'm sure many others will, but I touched on something earlier, and that was sort of getting rid of the Kessel and Phaneuf contracts before the trade deadline, because I really felt that their trade value would diminish as the season progressed. And I think I'm right now. What do you guys think?
Well, I think to answer your question first, yeah, nice game, and we certainly echo the sentiments. A happy birthday to Joe Bowen. Since 1982, he has been we've been able to catch his act for 33 years now as voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But about those two instances, I think pretty well, Ozzie, everyone's trade value has diminished in a lot of ways, but all it takes is one team to be really sweet on somebody, and you never know. It just takes one other general manager. But I think in Phaneuf's case and Kessel's case, you're stuck with Kessel, that because of his lack of trade value and what have you, that you're going to have to see what you can get out of him. Or Dion Phaneuf, I can see being a guy they move, and you can argue for whatever less than market value.
Well, let's put it this way, Gord. The entire body of work of these two players in particular doesn't come down to just a three-month period here of which this organization has simply gone south. And they're probably the key principles as to looking at a lack thereof of leadership or whatever it is that you want to pin on these two guys in particular. So you know as well as I know, it comes down to, can you make a deal and are you satisfied with what the value is? We don't even know what the value is for Dion Phaneuf or what's out there. Does it come down simply to a financial thing where you rid this contract and the enormous amount of money that you still have left on his term? But again, Dion Phaneuf, In a good situation on a good team, I think could be a legitimate top four defenseman on any team in the National Hockey League based on what we've seen. You would agree?
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
For Phil Kessel, the same thing. Is like, he's never played with a quality number one center. He goes into a situation or an organization that already has a propensity to win. He just plugs in there, and you'd like to see what could happen with a guy like Phil Kessel. I think there's still high demand for a guy like Phil Kessel.
Absolutely.
Out there on the market. And so, again, it determines what do you get in return for a player like that stature.
I'd like to see Phil Kessel commit to whether it's working with Gary Roberts or just being in better condition. I think guys have to look at their own individual commitments to better themselves.
Well, I said that earlier today with Jeff Sammet. I said, imagine if Phil Kessel decided to take on an approach or a focal point like a Steven Stamkos does with Gary Roberts. He's all in with Gary Roberts. Let's go through the list of players, Tyler Seguin, and the list goes on and on, of these players that have had tremendous years under a guy like Gary Roberts. What about Phil? Does he have it in him? Is he interested? And the answer, of course, is we rather doubt it. But he's just one of those guys that gets by on talent and talent alone. And in some cases, it's a real shame that he doesn't want to apply himself to become a better hockey player.
And the other part is when we, you know, it seems like a lot of people and whatever are giving management or different levels of management a free pass on what's going on. We're going to come back and talk about that. It's like Peter Horchak, Maple Leaf head coach, is just taking to the podium right now.
And game for you with the shots and the 4-4 and then having to pick all the shooters at the end.
That makes it fun, right? Those are the games you wanted to be in. Close games or fun games. Both teams are tight. Every goal matters. There's a lot of penalties. The first one was kind of messed up a little bit. It was offside, so it should never have been called. As soon as they had the puck, it shouldn't have been a penalty. It was offside. But I think he realized that after the fact. But, you know, our guys, they scored a couple, and we stayed with it. First period, we had more energy and we had the shots and, you know, we carried the play, I thought, a little bit more than they did. But the second period, you know, they put a push on, then we had penalty, and then a penalty, and then a penalty, and a penalty, and that's a tough situation. You know, they got themselves back in it, but it also changed momentum. But they started the first few minutes, and they just started forechecking. And when both teams are tired and have played the night before, that forechecking is the model. That's what you want to do. You want to put pressure on their D, force them into turnovers, make mistakes, mental mistakes. And, you know, we wanted to change that and do the same thing. But, you know, it stuck with it. The guys got down to the shootout, went long, which hasn't happened for a while. So big goal by Holly at the end.
How do you explain your team's ability to shut to win against a team that's desperate to make the playoffs twice so close together?
Well, I think it all goes back to the motivation and wanting to play the game the right way. And, you know, we're putting a lot of pressure internally on us to play that way. We wanted to keep pushing and keep doing the right things and playing the right way. We didn't always play the right way during the game. I mean, when the game's won and when you win a game, everything seems a little better than it is when it's the other way. If you lose the game, everybody kind of looks at the game a little bit less. But there was a lot of times when we started turning pucks over, especially in the second period, and it changed the momentum. They went back into our zone. You know, you've got to focus on doing it. We're encouraging them on the bench to stop doing the things that we don't want them to do. And that's a hockey game. But, you know, back and forth when the pressure's on, their season's at the, you know, brink as well. They've got to win. They got to collect points, but they got a point, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens to them down the stretch.
You talked before the game about maybe monitoring Peter Holland's game minutes, whatever, and then he comes out and has a pretty good game and caps it off nicely. What do you think of
him? Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. I thought early in the game, him, Leo, and Lupo were pretty good. They were one of our best lines, and so right off the bat, I just thought, I'm going to let him go until I think that he's falling off. And I thought that he stepped right in and played pretty good game right off the bat. And that's hard to do, being out for as long as he has. So you got to give him a lot of credit.
Erik Karlsson, what a talent. How do you defend somebody like that when he's got the puck and can pretty much do whatever he might want to?
You asked Bob to slash him.
Yeah.
He's a talented guy. He can skate as good as anybody. He does everything so effortlessly. He passes and no pulse. There's no panic. He just does things. It seems so easy for him, whatever he's doing. He sees the ice really well. And you've got to track back. You cannot. They're in four guys in every rush. Every rush, their D is in the rush. So there's four guys up every single time. So your forwards cannot get caught. And we did that a few times. And we encouraged them when it was part of our pre-scout. So you've got to come back. You've got to be in position. Don't allow him to get into positions to take advantage of it. So, and when he's on the power play, you got to know where he is all the time, and you got to get in his shooting lane. And if you give him time, he's going to make a play. He's that good.
You don't see Kessel many shootouts. Is that an attempt tonight to get him, see him get a roll again, get a goal?
Well, it was interesting, though. I've seen him. He had a penalty shot there back a little ways, and he did that. I think everybody would expect him to shoot, and he made a move and went back and up and scored that penalty shot. How many games ago was that? A couple weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Everything time's relevant to me right now. So, you know, I looked at him and I said, Kess, and he's shaking his head, so he wanted to go. And so that was good. And you want the guys to want to be the guy, you know, they want to be. I knew that Kadri was sitting there and he was like, he's shaking on the bench. Like, he wants to go so bad. He wants to be put on the line. So that's what you want to see out of the players. I think they're all standing up. They're all encouraging each other. But there was lots of guys that wanted to go. And it's interesting that the other players in the team are kind of poking at me, telling me, you know, pick him, especially when you get to seven. So they're fun things to go through. But it's great to have, you know, Holly come in and get that win.
Brewers game tonight. Looks like he had a good read on, you know, he knew when to shoot, when to pass, when to slap pass. He seems to have a comfort level now with this team.
Well, you know, he's a veteran guy, and you would think that after back-to-back games and playing a lot of minutes and defending lots of minutes that, you know, he'd be tired. And he seemed to have jumped right away. So you give credits to the guys who look after themselves, and he's a big body that defends hard every game. And he was on. Like, he was a big part of that JVR's goal. That would never have scored if he didn't go to the net. And he drove all the way through, pushed the D right back, stopped at the net, and it created the lane for him to get that pass. And so, you know, he's defending and doing all the little things, and he's been huge for us.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Tomorrow's a day off. I'm not going to talk to you tomorrow.
Peter Hartchek, Toronto Maple Leaf head coach, in a, I guess, a buoyant mood. He hasn't had opportunity for very many of those, Mark Osborne. And fun game. Doesn't matter, I guess, but just if you're out of it anyway, better to have a game like this than not.
Well, no question about it, Gordon. And one thing, regardless of where we're at in the season, I mean, for anybody that has pride, you love to compete, you love to win, and certainly for Peter Hartchek, that's his job behind the bench. And one thing I think, and you would agree, is when we saw the Leafs win, I believe it was last week in overtime, and his expression on the bench, I mean, he was excited, and so... you know, in spite of what he's had to endure and the position he's been put in here and the lack thereof of response from this Maple Leaf team as a group, his days are numbered. But, you know, he knows it. And yet I love the way I think he's approached, you know, his job behind the bench. And again, I give him credit for getting his team to play as good as they had even this last week when they're, you know, playing out the strings. So an entertaining affair tonight, and again for Peter Hartchek, happy for the win for him.
I can really see him too, that nowadays the shootout, when you go beyond three and just thinking, it's like they're just trying to stay one shooter ahead, and it is kind of fun and helter-skelter behind the bench, and you hope you make the right picks. You know, I think you were saying Peter Holland had scored in a shootout. Joe Bowen was saying had scored in a shootout earlier this year.
Oh, yeah, he has. You know, and I was predicting he would go backhand top shelf. He's got nice hands in tight, and lo and behold, a little bit surprising move where you hold it to the forehand and get it up top. I think that's one of the things that happened on the reverse end of things for the Ottawa Senators. Certainly Bobby Ryan, when he came in on Jonathan Bernier, when you make that move to your forehand, certainly the goalie is going to get his pad over, and like Peter Holland did, you got to get it up where the guy's hands are.
Matt Brown, our producer, says it was New Year's Eve, that infamous New Year's Eve game against Boston. Peter Holland, the shootout winner. Now, getting back earlier, just chatting about the situation with Phaneuf and Kessel, and, you know, one point I was making, they were signed on by this group. Dave Nonis was the general manager. Tim Leiwicki was the CEO. Brendan Shanahan wasn't here yet when they made the decision to invest in them long term. So, as you say, it's not a question of a bad 2015 for them. It's Brendan Shanahan saying we're gonna knock this pretty well right down, build it up, which to me points squarely at those two guys being among the things that haven't worked out in a leadership point of view. And when Phil Kessel took his stand or swipes at the media about the treatment of Dion Phaneuf, he did slip out about Dion Phaneuf didn't pick this team. Yep. And obviously basically saying he's probably not as big a fan of who's running the team as maybe the people running the team are not big fans of Phil Kessel's play the last year and a bit.
Well, you know what? It all comes sometimes down to things. Emotions tend to get the best of you when it comes down to simply even reacting to what Phil has displayed in his emotional reaction to the season. Whether you think it's unfair treatment by the media here in Toronto against some of the top-end players, the way things have been basically handled in general. So you're asking me some of the questions in regards to personnel decisions. I mean, I shouldn't probably be sitting here in the booth in order to answer some of those questions. That's for the powers to be and what the moves will be made. If, in fact, what we've heard towards the end of trade deadline is, are Dion's days numbered here? You keep on telling me it's a humanitarian decision to, in fact, allow him to be moved on in the offseason.
Well, I'm saying a little bit of both in the sense, if you're going to change your leadership, you've got to move the captain. And just really, to me, what Dion, I would say endured, but just it's time to move on. You know, he's obviously the guy been the lightning rod. And actually, I thought he was less the lightning rod this year. I thought last year was a year of evolution that people started to appreciate Dion Phaneuf's play. Then this year, of course, it came down to the whole captain thing. And I'm sorry, Snubgate yep. was a huge, huge indicator and failure by the guys in that dressing room and the leadership group to basically use any kind of common sense in that. I thought it was a big, big deal, and I think ultimately it did prove to be a big deal. So I'm just saying, though, that's my opinion.
But that's been the whole issue here in the core group of these players, led by your captain, is the things that we saw here on the ice, those things don't happen if you have the right leadership group in place. So if you're questioning the integrity of this particular group, the culture of this group, Tim Lewicki came out and said it last summer. We've got guys with talent, but we're lacking in character. So again, whose shoulders does the blame fall on? Well, the guys that you've given the big contracts to that have proven that they're unable, for whatever reason, to lead this organization to the next level that we see happening in so many other places around the National
Hockey League. Yeah, but you also talk about a president CEO who talked about changing the culture, and a year into it makes that statement.
Well, you know what? He's part of the blame. He's
absolutely
part of the blame. And anyways, it's a moot point for us to be discussing it. We hope things improve. I think we're looking forward to the draft, and we're looking forward to what happens in the offseason with the powers to be that continue to say that things are going to change around here. Well, let's see how things progress.
And, of course, first thing's the lottery to find out. And, boy, someone was kidding today. What if the Pittsburgh Penguins slide out of the playoffs and get the 1% chance at Connor McDavid
yeah.
and get Connor McDavid to go with Sidney Crosby? Before we take a break, Ozzy, put you to work. Let's talk positives. As we say, the Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game. The Player of the Game is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop.
Well, you know what? Let's go into the pipes with Jonathan Bernier. 43 saves, I believe it was, on the night. This is the 23rd time this season that the Maple Leafs have given up 40 or more shots. Six great saves. Certainly there in the shootout for Jonathan Bernier. I think he looked sharp. Looked shaky in the first period with some of his rebound control, but again, settled into his own. And so Jonathan Bernier gets the Tip Top Player of the Game for me.
Okay, well, Mike Trakos is there awaiting to join us, of course, from the National Post. Mike, are you happy with the Tip Top Taylor Player of the Game picked by Ozzy being Jonathan Bernier?
Great pick, Ozzy, as always.
Oh, yeah. Way to go, way to go, Mike. Where are you taking me out for dinner tonight?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey,
it was a fun game, though, wasn't it?
I would just say, that was exactly the line I was going to say to you, and this is the first time I'm not asking what's the mood in the building, because I think the game dictated that if you came tonight, you just would enjoy the game no matter what.
Yeah, it was great, and I'm not a big fan of the shootout, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but the crowd was energized for it, and like I said, it was a fun atmosphere. Probably the most meaningful game that we've seen in the last couple months, for sure, for the Leafs. And, you know, with games against Columbus, who don't have anything to play for now, and with Montreal, who's probably got either division sealed up or their place in the standing sealed up, this is probably the last meaningful game that we're going to see for the Leafs this year. So both teams kind of were playing, obviously, with their hearts on their sleeves, and it was great. It was a nice kind of remembering of just how great that rivalry usually is.
Michael, we were able to play Peter Horacek's post-game presser, and of course, elated. Anytime you do win a hockey game, it's been nice for Peter Horacek to see this team actually play some decent hockey the last week of the season or so. But conversely, on the other side of the equation, did you have an opportunity at all to connect with the Senators, Dave Cameron and company, after the game?
You know what, I stuck to the Leafs room just because I was really interested in just kind of getting their perspective as to what it means to play spoiler. And I didn't get to go into the Sens room just because I was almost picking my poison to that point. But I can imagine that's probably the opposite of what the Leafs are feeling. They needed 2 points. One's not as bad as zero, obviously, but rode the elevator down with the GM, Brian Murray, and he made it pretty clear. They've got to win out. Basically now, they've got to beat Pittsburgh. That's the big one on the sked. But after that, they've got to win against Philadelphia, and they've got to win against the Rangers as well. So this was a missed opportunity for the Sens. And you go back to the other loss against Toronto, and that was a huge missed opportunity. So this could have been the season right now, and we'll have to see. Just it's hard to tell just because of how poorly Pittsburgh and Detroit now is playing, and with Boston also tied with points. It seems like that last wild card spot or last two wild card spots up for grabs, but the Sens didn't do themselves any favors, that's for sure.
So just to put it in context, so they are 2 points behind Boston, Detroit,
and Pittsburgh.
Yep. Correct, and everyone's played the same amount of games. So everyone's got three games left. They're 2 points behind all three of those teams. So, as you say, it's well, who knows? It's funny because they're going the right direction, and the Penguins obviously going the other direction. It was nice. Boy, Joffrey Lupul, it's like, where have you gone, Mrs. Robinson? You know, where had you gone, Joffrey Lupul? I mean, I mean, the game in general, especially the first period, but also just seeing his reemergence, it continues. I use the word baffling, and then you just see when there is that high-tempo skating game against a really good Ottawa Senators team. I mean, this is a skilled team, but it was like, you know, it just continued to shake your head where this element evaporated for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and Lupul in particular, he's too good of a player, too good of a skater, too good of a shot to have gone 27 games without a goal. It's inexcusable, and we've talked before on post games, just kind of, well, what's going on with Lupul? Why isn't he playing better? Should they bench him? What do you do with him? And tonight we saw a bit of kind of what he can be and what he usually is for the Leafs, and scores a hell of a goal in the shootout as well, but yeah, to go 27 goals, it's basically a head-scratching there. Last time he scored was in December when Randy Carlyle was still the coach. That really puts it into perspective. Like, the team was in a playoff spot at that point. And to go that long without a goal, well, it's easy to see where the Leafs have fallen off when one of your top players goes that long without scoring.
Michael, I know I'm going to get, maybe the finger pointed at here, but, you know, interesting enough, Peter Holland draws back in the lineup after 10 games and, you know, has a real good game. That line with Lupul and Komarov in the first period were one of the better lines. And, of course, Holland makes a nice pass to JVR on the 4-on-4 goal and, of course, scores the shootout winner. Interesting to see Joffrey Lupul, and therefore it comes down to Nazem Kadri, and a lot of has been made of Nazem Kadri moving forward, contract in the offseason. I'm always kind of curious as to why Nazem Kadri, with the skill set that he has, can't make wingers around him better. And certainly might explain why Joffrey Lupul has gone so long without a goal. Why can't Naz make players around him better, in your opinion?
That's a hell of a question, Ozzie. Maybe one of the better questions you've asked.
I know. Well, you know what? An observation, maybe just a comment like that, because
well, you know, some you go back to last year. Let's face it, we forget because they've been in such a losing skid. Joffrey Lupul had a bit of a lip last year not being on the big line. You know, I mean, like you know, they keep.
He didn't
want
to play right wing with Kadri, and they had a little bit of you know, they had some good sync going with Matty Fratton a couple of years ago, but again, I might be nitpicking a little bit too much with Nazem Kadri, just because I like to be devil's advocate with you know, some of the media types that back Nazem Kadri to no end.
Chris Johnson,
which at times just I have to bring a little levity to the conversation.
Yeah, you know what? I almost fall into the Chris Johnson camp in the terms of I really do like Naz's game. I think he drives possession. I think him at his best, he's a snarly kind of forward who's going to be throwing his body around. And I do think he makes his wingers around him better. I'd almost turn the question around and say, why haven't the Leafs found him wingers to play with? Because you mentioned he's played well with Matt Fratton. Well, I don't think he'd fall into your prototypical second-line winger. And he's played with Leo Komarov again, doesn't fit into that mold. David Clarkson's been placed on his line. And aside from Joffrey Lupul, we really haven't seen the type of talent that Kadri deserves to play with. And maybe we'll see it next year if Kessel's still here, if JVR's still here, where Kadri takes Bozak's spot on the top line. And maybe you don't agree with that, but I think with the skill set that Naz has, I think it's definitely worth trying out.
You know, just slicing it a little bit more, I was kind of little surprised a guy like Joachim Lindstrom's getting more minutes than, say, a David Booth. I mean, I look at this as a David Booth just got 10-plus minutes. I just kind of look at this as not, I don't, maybe auditioning's the wrong word, but about figuring out for a guy that, you know, all in all was a pretty good one-year signing and is an interesting one to debate next year. Obviously, if he hits a home run contract-wise, he'll go elsewhere like Mason Raymond did, but I'm kind of surprised he's seen less ice time right now.
Yeah, and I think you guys asked me the other night just which guy would you re-sign or has shown you a lot, and I didn't hesitate. I said David Booth is that guy for me, and he made a great play going to the net where he kind of wheeled around. I think it was Borowiecki and in the first period and took it hard to the net with the backhand, and I'm with you. I think Booth deserves all the ice time, definitely deserves it right now, but you know what, maybe the Leafs know what they have in him. Maybe they think that they're going to re-sign him, or they've made up their mind and now they're trying to figure out how a Joachim Lindstrom fits in, or how a Sill fits in, and some of those other kind of periphery players. And, you know, Lindstrom's been somewhat okay. I think he's got one goal, four assists for the Leafs right now. And at 31 years old, is he a guy that you might bring back on a one-year contract? I think the teams may be wrestling with that right now. So he's getting second power play unit time, and he's getting a bit more ice time. But I don't know if it's a reflection as to which guy's playing better, whether it's him or Booth.
Hey, hey, Michael, I know it's the entire body of work through the entire year. And for a guy like Jonathan Bernier, though, our memories are short. And when he has a performance like he does tonight, I mean, this has to at least bode well for him if he could, you know, finish out this season on a little bit of a positive high to give the management team a little bit of a memory as to what he's able to accomplish when push comes to shove. So, I know the jury's still out on many pundits as far as Jonathan Bernier, but a good effort by him this evening.
And the best thing about that is not just that Bernier played well. It comes on the heels of James Reimer playing just great against the Boston Bruins, and also great earlier this week against Tampa Bay, I believe it was. So both goaltenders seem like they're kind of battling again for playing time in that number one job. And I think that's a good sign if you're the Leafs management. I think that's exactly what you want. Kind of back to that competition for playing time. Maybe we're going to see a bit more of that next year, because I don't really think they're going to move Bernier. I don't think they're going to move Reimer as well in the offseason. I think these are the two goalies you should be expecting to see next year, and probably for the year after that as well. So I think ideally you want them competing again, because earlier in the year it wasn't necessarily that Bernier was outplaying Reimer. It was just that Reimer's game had fallen off, where they had no choice but to play Bernier. So both guys are going. I think that's a good sign.
Well, back-to-back tip-top Taylor player of the games as well for Mark Osborne. So that's another plus as well. Hey, Mike, always appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure coming on with you guys.
Thanks. Mike Trakos with the National Post joining us. We'll take a break, come back, catch up on out-of-town scoreboard. It was 3-2, a shootout victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators tonight. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Once the skates come off, it's game on for us. Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Long shoot in on Hammond, who cleared it into the corner. Brewer sends it in front of the net. They score! Peter Holland was coming in late, but it might be Leo Komarov, or is it Joffrey Lupo?
Okay, good recovery there by Joe Mowen. He pretty well picked everybody else on the ice that could have scored. I mean, it was Bonesy's birthday, but on the other side, he's come back from missing a couple of games with pneumonia. He said it's the first games he's missed due to illness.
Just careful, because he's probably listening.
That's
to
okay.
You on
I hope he is
home,
listening.
You know?
Hope he is listening. I'm talking about. I couldn't believe his top five calls there.
Yeah, you know who put that together? That was disappointing. That wasn't. I mean, you had to put Borshevsky
in
there.
Yeah, that should
sure,
have been
right?
Number one. It wasn't even one of the top five calls. Nicky Borshevsky in game number 7. Anyway, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Let's take a look. As we said, the Ottawa Senators' spirits were buoyed by some out-of-town score results this afternoon. We had another game or two this evening as well. Out-of-town scoreboard is brought to you by Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most referred personal injury lawyers. Visit us at bplawyers.ca.
Well, you know what, and scoreboard watching was certainly the case for Ottawa. Watching Pittsburgh in Philadelphia this afternoon, it was a 4-1 Philadelphia win, and I believe this is 8 in a row now for Philadelphia over the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins opened the scoring in the first period on the power play. Brandon Sutter, his 19th, and then Voracek, even the score with his 22nd on the power play, so it was 1-1 after the first period. Braden Schenn on the power play as well, his 17th, gave the Flyers a 2-1 lead entering the third period. Ryan White, 15 minutes and 5 seconds, made it 3-1 Philadelphia. And then it looked as though Delzato with a power play goal, and I'm assuming the net empty, his 10th of the season. What a bounce-back season for Michael Delzato. A big win for Philadelphia, at least in the Sens' view, a 4-1 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, and the Ottawa Senators, that certainly helped their cause, and they liked the out-of-town scoreboard as well in Detroit. Washington Capitals 2-1 winners over the Detroit Red Wings. For the Caps, Evgeny Kuznetsov, his 11th. Mike Green, his 10th. Mike Green will be an interesting UFA in the offseason. Darren Helm, the lone goal for the Red Wings. At one point, the Red Wings, just late in the second period, had 90 seconds with a two-man advantage and weren't able to put it in. So they lose 2-1, and they're tied with Boston and Pittsburgh at 95 points.
Yeah, you know what? And Mrazek played net for the Detroit Red Wings this afternoon. It was... who ended up getting the win yesterday for Detroit?
Jimmy Howard?
Jimmy Howard was in the pipes for that big win in Minnesota. Over to Florida, they were eliminated, I think, officially yesterday in the postseason. But the Habs go in and beat the Florida Panthers 4-1, opening the scoring in the first period. Thomas Plekanec, his 24th and 200 of his National Hockey League career. Aaron Ekblad, his 12th on the power play, knotted the score at 1 early in the second period before Brendan Gallagher, his season high and career high, 24th of the season, Pierre-Alexandre Parenteau, his 8th of the season, and Devontae Smith-Pelly, his 6th of the season. I believe that was his first as a Montreal Canadian. Carey Price in the pipes with the win for Montreal. Dan Ellis takes the loss for the Florida Panthers.
And one more game, St. Louis and Chicago. And certainly if the St. Louis Blues are going to meet the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round or afterwards, nice for them tonight to get a 2-1 win, because that's been a bit of an Achilles heel playing against the Blackhawks. Chicago did have a 1-0 lead. Christopher Stieg is 14th. And then St. Louis came back with 2 second period goals. David Backes is 26th. And Olli Jokinen, yes, the former Leaf, just his 4th of the NHL season and first as a member of the St. Louis Blues. St. Louis wins 2-1.
And what that does for St. Louis, Gord, it vaults them over a Nashville for first in the Central Division. So Anaheim still has the Western Conference lead with 107 points. They'll be the number one seed thus far. In the Western Conference, St. Louis gets the number two seed, just 1 point ahead of Nashville, and that puts them 3 ahead of the Chicago Blackhawks. So again, Western Conference continues to be an interesting thing as far as playoff implications go.
When we come back, we'll wrap up the network hour, set up a local hour, chat about the game tonight. Hockey, Leafs, Ottawa Senators, whatever you want. It's a 3-2 shootout victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Post-Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
MacArthur starting out now with Churis. Churis gets it back on the far side. Stone twisting and turning. Sends it to the front of the net. Down is Bernier. And he makes an excellent save on Mark MacArthur.
Well, one of the many saves Jonathan Bernier made tonight. Actually, a night of excellent goaltending on both sides. Final shots on goal, 45-38. The Leafs outshot the Ottawa Center. Ottawa outshot the Maple Leafs, 45-38. So Bernier making 43 saves, and that was one of them. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. And to let you know, in about 4 minutes' time, we'll be taking a final break on the network hour, and we'll be back on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and many other affiliates. If for some reason your station breaks away, you can follow us online at sportsnet590.ca.
You know what? I wanted to ask you a question, and whether or not...
Ask away.
I know that the players are going to get away. This season ends for them next Saturday night, and they're on a bit of a feeling good about things, and so... if it continues to fare well the last couple of games, do you think it's in the best interest of these players going out on a winning note for this season, or do you think it's a little bit better that the basic body of work for the entire year, that you go off into the off season on a sour note? Does that motivate you, or does it maybe mask it a little bit for the way that Leafs have played the last couple of weeks of this season?
Well, good point in that you don't want to sugarcoat it. And I call these, like, I'm serious. Like, it was fun tonight to watch a game. It was an entertaining game. Ottawa Senators, it's a preseason game. But I guess it's not. To me, it's a preseason game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. For the Ottawa Senators, they're fighting to get into the playoffs. So I just find these games that put them in perspective. The season's been a disaster, and quite often, you're right, you go into the offseason and go, wow, we really finished strong. No, forget that crap. Been through it before.
What's going to be the message at the end of the year? Do you think the Brendan Shanahan, Dave Notice and company take this entire body of team and sit them down at the end of the year? Or is it just simply, you know what, clean out your lockers, postseason party, come Sunday and the players are on their way to vacation and it's like, have a good summer, get in shape, there's going to be changes made, and, stay tuned.
Tim Leiwicki, when he hired Brendan Shanahan last year, went great strides to talk about his speech, and he said he didn't mince words.
That was last year.
Yeah, he gave the players a piece of his mind. I would give the players nothing of my mind. I would just go ahead, do what I'm going to do, and do your talking in August and September. I don't see the point. Do you remember good talks when you had a horrible season? Did it matter at all?
Well, first of all, it didn't happen too often. So
I would hope not.
My first couple of years, obviously not making the playoffs, but yeah, the times were different at that point, where after year number one, the team was sold to Mike Ilitch after my rookie season, and then lo and behold, I wasn't around long enough. I was already traded, but again, in some ways, I'm just kind of reaching to again gauge the atmosphere or the general sense of this particular group as they move for the summer and things begin to change around here.
Well, and the big thing now is these exit interviews, as they call them, and that to me is where Brendan Shanahan and Dave Nonis and whoever should sit down with the players and talk one-on-one about specific expectations about things on and off the ice from the player, the team, and all that. I think that would be better rather than the grandstand talk like Leiwicki had last year with the Toronto Maple Leafs. When we come back, we'll hear from, I would think, kind of a buoyant group, some of the players involved in tonight's game, maybe a little bit from Jonathan Bernier as well. He stops 43 of 45 as the Toronto Maple Leafs are 3-2 shootout victors over the Ottawa Senators. We'll talk about a very impressive and skilled Ottawa Senator team as well that we saw, especially in the final 40 minutes of the game. And, of course, today, a day that they gained a point and are in the playoff hunt, but still a lot of tough sledding to go. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Leafs Radio Network with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. The game may end, but the analysis never will. Now, Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Up on the right side for Van Riemsdyk, left for Holland. Peter Holland in over the line, stops a pass in front, they score! Van Riemsdyk on a beautiful setup from Peter Holland.
What a nice given goal that was. JVR, Peter Holland back to JVR as we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, a 3-2 shootout victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Ottawa Senators. And as you mentioned, Ozzy, we saw a lot of skill, a lot of entertaining value on both sides. And I love that give and go, because when you give the puck away like JVR did and cut, you're the most dangerous recipient potentially if the guy can pick you out. And Peter Holland did just that.
Well, absolutely. And give JVR a lot of credit, too. I think when JVR goes to the net, I mean, he's a tough guy to contain. And if you remember, during the early period of time when Randy Carlyle was his coach that first season, I mean, JVR wasn't in Randy's good books, and Randy challenged him to, you know, he's got to get to the front of the net and play with a little jam in his game. And, of course, you know, a 30-goal season resulted in James Van Riemsdyk. And again, there have been periods of times where, you know, JVR has been very, very silent, and the share of the criticism has gone to Phil Kessel or Dion Phaneuf, and yet when he puts his mind to it and he gets his feet moving, he's a tough guy to contain, and good on him, because both him and Peter Holland worked that nice give-and-go drop pass, and JVR goes to the net, and Peter Holland finds him with a nice finish.
And you mentioned as well, 27 goals for the season, so very quietly, he still could become a 30-goal scorer. I know there's only a couple of games left that way, but also will likely lead the team in goals.
Yeah, and it's been, five straight years for Phil Kessel as far as leading in that category. I mean, it's possible, but you're going into Columbus on Wednesday evening, where they've won 9 in a row and seem to have had a real good surge to end their season, and then the Leafs close out their season on Saturday night. I mean, Phil is a streaky scorer, but obviously one goal in his last, 18, 19 games now. Anything's possible with when you first get that one off your back. You never know. Things happen in good things in that regard.
Want to hear from some of the Toronto Maple Leaf players, but also do want to talk about an Ottawa Senator team. And, you know, here I can remember debating with some media members along the way about, okay, the Toronto Maple Leaf philosophy about you've got to go low and get that high draft pick once, that if you're a Midland team, you never get that opportunity. And look, and the Ottawa Senators were cited as a team that was in just such a predicament. I'm telling you, look at guys like Hoffman and Stone, rookies like that, and I would very much like that predicament. And then a guy like Erik Karlsson, who is the number one defenseman you aspire to have on the Toronto Maple Leafs, I would love that predicament.
Well, absolutely, and then you throw Kyle Turris, who, you know, it's taken him a long time, I think, to develop into that role of, you know, again, being a top-line centerman. There's a lot to like about Kyle Turris. I'm not sure if he's a legitimate number one guy in the National Hockey League. He is that guy for the Ottawa Senators. Remember, first year, in that position after Jason Spezza gets traded to the Dallas Stars. But you throw Bobby Ryan, who's been snake bitten for quite some time now, you know, much like a guy like Phil Kessel. And yet there's some pretty good skill sets. Zibanejad is coming into his own.
It's another one. That's right.
Know, 20 goals this season for the former first round pick. So there's some good things and good pieces in Ottawa as they move forward. But man, you got a guy like Karlsson on your back end. I mean, how good does he make players around him? And again, you know, the Sens, we'll see what happens with them down the stretch these last three games of their season.
You know, it's funny taking a look at different players, and we talk about first-round picks, and just taking a look who's coming up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're going to hear from Jonathan Bernier, Peter Holland, James Van Riemsdyk, and Eric Brewer.
These are all first-round picks. These guys, all these guys in before we're done?
But these are all first-round picks.
Okay.
These are all first-round picks when you talk about not having first-round picks on your team. I mean, you got Eric Brewer was a fifth overall pick way back when. Jonathan Bernier, first-round pick of the Los Angeles Kings. And we will first hear, let's hear from the Maple Leaf goaltender, stopping 43 out of 45 tonight, Jonathan Bernier.
That's a lot of shots over the course of the last couple of nights. We asked James last night, busier the better. How was it for you?
I thought we battled hard. We blocked a lot of shots that I couldn't see, and you know, I got fortunate. Made a couple of big saves there in the third two pad, and you know, we were able to find a way to win that game.
Bernie, you haven't had the best luck in shootouts historically. When you're going through a long shootout like that, is it a mental game for a goalie? You might not have a book on all these guys. What's it like?
Yeah, I was just trying to stay focused and be patient. I think my last two, three shootouts, I think I've done a better job just to be more patient and wait for their first move to, you know, instead of being more aggressive.
How good does it feel? I mean, these are two teams the last two nights that were, like, they're battling tooth and nail. They need these points, and to give it to them and their rivals, how good does it feel?
Yeah, I think that was our motivation tonight and last night, just to battle hard and try to knock teams out of the playoffs. And I think tonight we did a good job. Obviously, I don't know if they're really out, but that probably hurt them, obviously, for their chances.
Did it feel different, like it had a bit more meaning to it?
Yeah, it did. I think the crowd got us in the game, too. I think a lot of Sens fan and Leafs, so it was a good crowd, obviously.
How dangerous was the play when you got run over by Bobby Ryan with his skate, given where your neck was?
Yeah, I was pretty close. That's why I didn't try to move too much, just wait for him to get off me. But, yeah, I got lucky there, I think.
Big Gord, what did you think of the atmosphere and the environment tonight? I know that you're big on atmosphere, environment. You know, the fans, I thought, were treated to a very entertaining type of hockey game. And so Jonathan Bernier, we heard his comments as far as the fans being vocal and in into it. So excellent game by Jonathan Bernier. And 6 out of 7 shooters he stopped in the shootout.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think as well, earlier when we had Mike Trakos talking, I think the goaltending, these are the guys that are going to come back, for better or for worse. You know, I mean, you can debate about Bernier's contract, what have you, whether you sign. So I actually do like these guys ending on a bit more positive note, because I know Rick St. Croix really wants, he feels it's a mental battle when you haven't had a lot of support for these guys, and hopefully to end on a little bit more of a positive slant. So it's nice to see these back-to-back starts.
But you know what? We haven't yet seen a team in front of these goaltenders for who knows how long, when they've been an actual defensive-minded type of hockey club that are willing to do a lot of the little things in order to, I don't know, just you just look at guys like the Washington Capitals, for instance, now under Barry Trotz. Watching that game today against the Red Wings, how these guys have all bought in to play without the puck. And if the Leafs are ever able to get a personnel that are willing to take that upon themselves to understand that defense wins championships, and that's the core of your foundation as a hockey club. Yes, you need skill. Yes, you need guys to score goals, but it has to be the attention to detail without the puck. That's where things are really your foundation.
Well, take a look as well. Okay, we're getting our break sorted out. We're good that way. And, you know, Peter Horacek, I think, felt that. I think Peter Horacek felt that before the first.
Yeah, and
road
how did it work? How did it work
not
out?
Very good, I mean, at
that
all.
That was the big thing that they were selling. And matter of fact, they did try to do it, and there were some areas of which I felt they did a better job. But again, I think basically their whole hearts when they started to go on that losing streak, that they decided to just basically abandon that whole defensive end of things, because they probably said to themselves, look, we were winning at the start of the year playing this way. Now we're losing playing this way. What would we rather do? Well, there you go.
Well, we'll take a look. Let's hear from let's skip Peter Hall, and we'll go to James Van Riemsdyk and just talk about JVR. What's that? Let's hear from James Van Riemsdyk after tonight's win.
Enjoyable the last two games against Ottawa been given the result?
Yeah, I mean, at this time of the year with the situation we're in, we're trying to play a little bit of a spoiler, so hopefully, I mean, again, it just gives you a reason to help get up for the games.
Eric Greiba and yourself, any history going back to college?
Yeah, we played against each other in college. He plays a tough game, a strong game, and again, it's fun battling against guys like that.
Talk about the 4-4 goal you had.
Yeah.
See, when you're 4-4, they got a lot of speed, so it's a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, we on that play, I think Brew got it up to me, and those guys were coming a little bit late, and I just wanted to try to buy time in the neutral zone, and we made a little interchange, and I think kind of messed up their coverage a little bit, and then Holly made a great pass and found me right in the slot.
There was a ton of shots in that game and a lot of momentum shifts. Is that a fun game for you to play?
It's always fun. I mean, it's a rivalry game. Like we talked about before, they're playing for a playoff spot here, so we're trying to make it hard on them and playing a little bit of spoiler.
I guess you guys expected the kick pushback that you got from them in the second period after such a dominating opening period?
Definitely. I mean, their season's on the brink, and they needed at least a point to stay alive, I'm sure. So, we knew they were going to come out playing that way.
Well, a little bit from James Van Riemsdyk. He was a second overall pick when you talk about former first-round picks.
11 first-rounders are on the Maple Leaf roster compared to 8 on the Ottawa Senators. And we're restructuring, rebuilding.
Well, I know,
retooling.
About because there's not enough first-round picks on the team, apparently.
Okay.
A myth. Sounds like I'm lisping when I say a myth, but it is a myth. And we will now move on to Peter Holland, another first-round pick, and gets a nice shootout goal. It was 7 rounds of the shootout. Peter Holland scored it, and the crowd went home happy, whether you like shootouts or not. If you do or don't, it's still always nice for your team you're cheering for to win, and that's what Maple Leaf fans got tonight. Here he is after tonight's game.
Long layoff for you. How satisfying it was tonight, get back in and contribute right away?
Oh, it felt good. You know, it's frustrating anytime you get hurt in a season, but especially with it winding down and the only few games left, I wanted to make sure I got in. And I did my best to help the team win, and so it was just nice to get 2 points tonight.
What do you learn on a shootout when you're waiting for your turn? What did you see as this thing progressed?
Well, I just saw that if he came in with speed, he tended to back up a little bit quicker than I think he wanted to. So I just tried to carry some speed into the zone and try and push him back, and then I was just fortunate enough to get it over his pad.
How satisfying is a win like this the last two nights for the team facing teams they badly need these points and your chief rivals in the division? How satisfying is it?
Yeah, internally in our dressing room we're trying to be spoilers and give us some motivation to show up and play hard, and obviously Ottawa's fighting for a spot and we wanted to make sure that we were going to make it tough on them tonight. And it's a great rivalry between the two teams. There's some good Senators faithful in the building tonight, and to go that far in the shootout was a lot of fun.
What kept driving you? I mean, it could have been easy for you near the end of this season to say, you know what, I'll shut it down, I'll focus on a good off season, come back. But what drove you to get back in before this season ended?
Simply put, it's my job to play hockey, and quite honestly, it's rather boring being on the IR. So, you're not part of the group when you're injured. You're in at off times. You're not really around them as much as you are, obviously, when you're playing. So, you like to take part in the wins and the losses. It's all part of the team game, and it was nice to get back tonight.
Horchick said he was going to monitor your minutes just to see how you felt coming back. How did you feel out there?
I felt good. Lupo got a goal there. I think it was our second shift of the game, and that just kind of kick-started us. And I thought we played pretty well together. We've had some stints, Leo, Lupo, and myself, earlier in the year, too, and it's a fun line to play on. So I think getting that early goal really helped us create some speed and momentum for us throughout the game.
The JVR goal, how important was Eric going to the net and opening up space for you to get that pass cross ice?
Yeah, that's a staple. All teams that have success on the rush have a middle lane drive, and that's something we've been really harping on all year, but especially in the past couple weeks. It's tough to score goals in this time of the season when everyone's really hunkering down around the net. And, he did a great job taking that defenseman with him, and it opened up JVR in the high slot.
You're mixing it up there. I think it was Turris. A little bit more intensity and more meaning to this game than other ones?
Yeah, it's just the game within the game. It's just one of those things where you compete on face-offs and it just carries over to the play throughout the game, and just having fun out there.
Peter Holland and Ozzie missed 10 games, but right from the get-go, that line is really the one maybe that set the tone for the Leafs tonight.
No, it absolutely did. I was a little bit surprised that, Peter, after that 10-game absent, could jump into the lineup and have as positive an effect that he had, certainly in that first period. That line ignited that Joffrey Lupo goal, and, of course, a nice pass 4-on-4. So give Peter Horchuk a lot of credit, I think, to recognize that. I mean, I think that's, one of the attributes that the coach has to have. He's got to be able to gauge the guys who are going and then stick to his guns and play those guys in a more extended role. Again, I would agree with you with the David Booth thing as to I'm a little bit perplexed. You saw his energy in the effort in the first period, his strength down low as to, again, sitting on the fourth line and you're playing a guy like Lindstrom. Is he back? I mean, are you signing Lindstrom? Is there any hope of bringing a guy like Lindstrom back? For me, he's kind of nondescript. I don't know how to pencil him. He's getting an opportunity to play on the power play with Kadri and Lupul on the second unit, and yet a little bit undefined as far as I'm concerned.
Of course, that line had Joffrey Lupul, Leo Komarov,
right,
and Peter Hall. Yep. The other thing he said was, or he got asked the question, so, and again, I don't know when you've been in situations like this or not, but to how important when you have been hurt, he's been out for 10 games, is it to come back and end the season with a few games? I mean, I know it's great when you get positive games especially, but is that a big plus that it'll be, what, 3 games he'll get under his belt before the season ending rather than 13 games that he was hurt and the season ended that way?
Well, absolutely. For a guy who is, I don't know if you look at him and say he's on the bubble and is he a part of the future or is he part of the rebuild or retool and there's not a place for Peter Holland in your lineup. I mean, there's been stretches and almost as though he's teased us with his abilities as a former first-round pick. He's way past the American Hockey League. And again, for guys that you want, like, what do you want out of Peter Holland? He's asserted himself on the penalty kill. That's something he was never doing. And you know what? He told Randy Carlyle, give me an opportunity to play the penalty kill. And so there was a good scoring opportunity that he created shorthanded already this evening. So that's one of the things or elements to the game that Peter Holland, I think, has added. again, if you're not playing in a number one or a number two situation, which he has not been, Kadri's two, Bozak's one, you then have to play a third line role and chip in with the odd goal, which he's done. What does he have, 10 on the season? So I think his numbers are legitimate. Again, moving forward, is this team good enough up the middle, and is Peter Holland part of the equation?
Yeah, you look at Joachim Lindstrom, and it is, you know, he's 31 years old, and it's funny, like he's another of these fourth line guys. I don't know how you're going to become a third or second line guy.
Do you want a guy like that on your third or fourth line, or do you have a guy that's going to work down low, provide some energy, provide some leadership, good in the gym, lead by example of some of the things I think that we've been able to recognize in David Booth. Now, I'm not suggesting anything beyond that, but you need all sorts of different types of players to fulfill certain roles. And a guy at 31 years of age that doesn't necessarily bring an aggressive style of play or an edge to his game, you know, for me, in your bottom six or your bottom three, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, he's got zero NHL really solid track record. He's not had a full NHL season.
So why is he here at 31 years of age?
Well, look, his stats in Sweden, you know, last year, 55 games, 23 goals, 40 assists, 63 points, 72 minutes, which is a lot. But, you know, just led in playoffs with 18 points in for his team in the playoffs. And I don't know. I'm just taking it that way. They thought, but I don't understand the fit. I'm much more comfortable with a Zach Sill or a David Booth as a fourth liner and potential third liner than a 31-year-old. Anyway.
Well, so you and I agree. So yeah. We don't often do that. And yet on this
case, I know.
He's talking about bottom six players or bottom three players. That's wow, we've got a solid foundation with guys moving forward.
Well, we got too many fourth liners. Right now we're talking a lot of guys that are too many fourth liners. And the goal is, and that's why I look at Stone and I look at Hoffman, core six forwards. Okay, these are one, what Stone was picked, what, ninth round. You mean you're talking about two guys that are core six forwards. They're not talking about being 7 through 12. They're core six.
Well, you know what? I think you can look at players like that say, wow, we're even surprised that they've developed as well as they have as, you know, rookie guys that are over 20 goals drafting in the fifth and sixth round, those two guys respectively. So you give the Sens organization credit. You give Luke Richardson credit down in Binghamton. He's one of the reasons why those guys, I think, have made the progression to the Ottawa Senators and Dave Cameron as well, giving them an opportunity to play. That's what he's talked about, the youngsters making a difference for these Senators.
Well, let's hear now. They talked about Eric Brewer and getting an assist on that first goal of the game for the Maple Leafs, and he'll be interesting if there's any decision to be made about him coming back or not. Here he is after tonight's game.
This win, your opponent really needed the point.
It makes the games really fun. It's been a good weekend playing both teams and having the energy in the buildings and the energy from the teams to carry us to the season here.
You say the bit of comfort zone on this team now. You seem to know where guys are going to the net, and, you know, when to shoot it, when to have the slap pass and all that.
It's getting better, I guess. It's never that great, but it takes time to get used to new systems and new players, so hopefully we can continue to get better.
Peter has kind of styled these last seven as your own kind of playoff series for the team. Is that a concept guys can rally around?
I think guys just want to play well down the stretch, and it's just one of the things that we're going to focus on. There's a lot that's happened before I got here, obviously. So having said that, guys just want to play well and carry on and take what we can out of it.
What did you see on the JVR goal that allowed you to go to the net and open things up for Peter's pass?
Well, I was up a little bit and was able to just create a little bit of space for him. He's got a good knack. He's got a good knack for finding free space. So, just trying to clear it out for him and give him a good look.
Well, there he is after tonight's game, Eric Brewer of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Ozzie, one thing we talk about. I don't know if you want to comment on Eric Brewer or bring out your keys to victory, but I will let you choose.
Well, you know what? I think apart from the first couple of games where Eric Brewer just seemed out of his element here, and I was kind of surprised as to a guy who has been around the block for, you know, nearly the 1,000th game that he had been captain of the St. Louis Blues, and just looked as though, wow, is he coming down to the end of his career? But I think you and I would agree that he's provided some stability on the back end. I know he's paired up with Dion Phaneuf. These games don't mean anything, but I've been impressed by his articulation. I think some of his leadership. He's enjoyed the way that he's been treated here for by the Maple Leaf organization. And so moving ahead, you need some guys like Eric Brewer. You need guys like Stefan Robidoux. You need guys like David Booth, in my opinion. There has to be some kind of a foundation of these guys who are going to be able to lead some of the younger players in the right and positive direction as far as what's required, I think, to get this organization to the next level.
Well, and again, let's take a look. We saw Jermaine Defoe talking about organization scoring a big goal for Sunderland today, a 1-0 win. But that was that. This was then. It didn't work out for him in Toronto FC. What about tonight's keys to victory? And I would think early on the Maple Leafs seemed to be doing all of them. It got last 40 minutes, came down to earth a little bit more.
Well, you know what? My number one key tonight was mental muscle memory for the Leafs and their top line. You know, going back to their 4-3 overtime win against the Sens about 8 days ago. Of course, the top line with Bozak, JVR, and Kessel had 10 points. Bozak, 3 goals and an assist. Although they weren't as dominating, I thought the way the Leafs played in the first period, 22 shots on net, you know, they obviously bought into that first, you know, key. Basically, point number two, I was talking about structure and effort. I wanted them to be more aggressive in their own end of the ice, certainly through the neutral zone. I felt in the Boston game last night that they were very passive, and when you give up 50 shots, well, they gave up 43 tonight, and I think a lot of the momentum that the Sens may have, you know, garnered over the course of the game would have been in the second period. I believe they went on the power play 4 times, so they generated a lot of shots there, and of course this was an important game for the Senators. So over the course of the game, I thought there was better structure for the Maple Leafs. And then my third point was how the Leaf wingers would do against Erik Karlsson. And, well, he scored a goal on the power play. He's such a dominating player there. How to contain and handle him. He's so elusive, so smart, so poised with the puck. He pitches in with a goal. I don't know what to say, whether that was a key to this victory or not. I guess Bernier stopping Karlsson in the 7th round of the shootout. So they held him pretty well in check. So good on the Maple Leafs as far as you know, their energy and effort towards a win this evening.
You know, Erik Karlsson reminds me a bit of like Brian Leetch when you played with him. About unassuming guys that just, they don't do flash, dash, panache. You look at them, they're just very efficient, and you think maybe they're not moving or skating, but they've got it all figured out. They're never in trouble.
Well, you know, they're never in trouble, and the part of his poise with the puck and under pressure, and just when you think he's going to pass it, he holds on with that extra bit, and the ability to find players in the offensive zone. I mean, it's a treat to watch guys like that, and yes, I did play with Brian Leetch. Brian Leetch, a little bit different. He was more north and south, where Karlsson's so good laterally with the puck, but you know, nonetheless, it would be neat to compare the two of them if you had Leetch playing you know, in this type of game right now. Nonetheless, two of the best that we've seen in their position.
Well, we can only hope on the Toronto standpoint, continued growth from Morgan Riley, Jake Gardner, and whoever else may be out there. That would be the ultimate to see down the road. Tonight it was a little bit like a flashback Sunday. The Toronto Maple Leafs of old or of earlier in the year showed up. A very entertaining 3-2 shootout victory against the Ottawa Senators. Leafs will be in Columbus on Wednesday, then wrap it up in against Montreal next Saturday. Ozzy and I will be here for Leafs Nation postgame on that. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.